Okay, welcome officially to I suppose I'm going to call this a little bit of time with an expert because that's exactly what I've got with me right now. Stevie Jensen has been in sales for a good 2 decades. If there's anything that he hasn't seen, it's not worth seeing, is pretty much what I will determine. I've been lucky enough to be around Steve now for a good sort of two and a half years. And every time I hear him speak, it is just like, yeah, actually, that makes so much sense. Or, yeah, in fact, that's the sort of language I should be using. So, Steve, I need to get you on to educate some of our guys and be able to share you more with our networks and allow you to be able to share your expertise. So, firstly, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Everyone didn't hear my comment before who's listening to the recording. You're definitely the best dressed man I know, and I forgot about that before coming on. So here I am in my casual clothes, and you're always looking dapper as you do.
Well, thanks, Michael. It's great to have invited onto the webinar. And look, over the last 2.5 years, I must say it's just been absolutely delightful working with you, your expertise, but also your can-do and how, let's say, generous you are with me and your time and so forth. So thank you so much for all of the great stuff that you come up with, always cutting edge. So it's been absolutely del a delight. Thank you.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Rightio, we've got guys here who want to know more about how to convert. So my thoughts are we've got sort of maybe 25, 30 minutes of me firing questions to you that I know is going to be relevant for everyone. There might be a few in there that I actually want to know the answers to also. And then we might even open up for a little bit of Q&A. We'll see how we go. But maybe before we start, Steve, do you want to give us a little bit of a brief intro on yourself and the things that you've done? And hey, in other words, why should we bother listening to you besides Michael saying so, which is pretty much a good reason to start with?
Oh, look, thanks, Michael. Look, I started actually in sales all by mistake many, many hundreds of years ago. It was actually when I started my own business. And it was all by a metamorphosis, really, because I opened up a business with a very small plan. And I then got engrossed in the process. And my goodness, as a young man, long story short, to actually find out more patient skills. So I dovetailed in more of the processes. And then I went on a bit of a rampage on learning lots of bits and pieces. But I really found that it was a real challenge. The challenge out there was everything was very salesy. And because I was a salesy type of guy, I just like getting an outcome. I wanted to change it. So I combined the process after I went through the learning, which we call NLP now, and then behavior analysis, and then also value models. We cr created a model that combined the soft skills with the hard skills. Now, the hard skills are the things that you teach on a day-to-day basis, from how to answer the phone, a script, or a prompt. However, the soft skills are the thing that actually gives you the magic sauce, is how to connect, how to actually create a trigger. And one thing that we did very uniquely was to create a process which encompassed the soft skills. So that actually came out after I sold my company, and everyone wanted to copy what we were doing. So I put a process into place and then started to deliver it just to about 20 or 30 companies. And very quickly, other people wanted to do the same thing because we were getting, in some cases, 2 and 3 months, double the turnover. It was just because people just didn't have anything, so something made a big difference. And very quickly, we let's say I got an opportunity overseas. We went global and over in Europe, and then also in South America. And so we then dovetailed out of which I was specializing a lot in health and wellness. We went into the corporate arena, and we worked with companies like Microsoft, Mazda, Channel 9, or Wind TV. And we found that the soft skills and the hard skills, once tailored, made a massive difference to businesses. And we don't just train like a rah-rah session. What we do is we go in there, we peel it back, we create processes all done for them. So create the lead and we help implement it so they get the income. That's what I've been doing for, oh God, years now, and it's been great. It's taken me all around the world and also back on terra firma now, and as well as Belly to Belly. So that's a bit of a Reader's Digest version.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. People who've just joined us, if you're watching with us live, if you're watching this as a recording, what we're going to go through here is a bunch of questions. I'm not going to make a fancy presentation. I reckon what's in Steve's head is just what we need to hear. So this is nothing other than a great Q&A so that you can start understanding how do you convert better. Because I reckon one still, Steve, one of the hardest things for people to be able to do is to be able to ask people for sales. For whatever reason, we just don't feel comfortable in asking people for a sale. And whether that's because of our experience growing up around sales, salespeople, the connotations that we put with salespeople, we've got to probably still get a better way to be able to use some of these soft skills so that in the end sales becomes easier for us. So let me start off. What do you think are probably the three pitfalls, problems that people have in terms of being able to convert leads into sales? What do you think they are for you?
Well, the first thing, that's a very good question, because a lot of people just ask me for a process. First thing is competence and confidence is what people want. And what a lot of salespeople do, they don't go through a training, or they don't do the practice to make sure it comes across as authentic. In other words, it comes across salesy. So just go back one step. It's confidence and competence in their product and also the process. Now, if they don't practice, they're always going to have to try practice on their clients. And what happens is they fail, either they'll burn a few leads or eventually they'll get better. Now, how to fix that is I believe it's absolutely essential that everyone has, let's say, a process. You've got to trust your process. The reason people don't close well is they don't open well. Firstly, if they get an inquiry on the telephone or they meet with somebody, they go straight into telling them about their product. Firstly, they don't connect with a human being. Secondly, and you asked a very good question, why should someone listen to me? So they got to connect as a human being. What the problem is, ask good questions and stop talking. Ask good questions and making sure that you find out after you've created, let's say, a little bit of commonality, finding out where they have their problem. Now, we have a saying, fix the big problem, get the big bucks. If you fix a problem, and people call them challenges and all that sort of stuff. No, it's a problem because it's persistent. If the person can extract that, and then it's a new process now, we call it inking and USPing. We teach them stuff that they don't know once they tell us the problem. Now, this instantly elevates us to expertise. If you teach people stuff that they don't know, they instantly say, wow, I never knew that. And we call that ink spots. And then if you combine it with a unique selling point, which is something that's unique, where you could say, I'll teach you this. You might not know this. Do you think it's important? And they'll say, absolutely. What would happen if you didn't have that product and or service? They would probably more than likely say, oh, it would fail. I still have the problem. And if you have a USP, or with the only, with the first, with the biggest, guess what? You've just smashed your competitor. So that's number one. Number two is once we've actually done it, we've now got to prove what we said in the brain. If we actually prove two things that are true to a human being with tangible evidence, they'll believe them right after that. That's really a big tall tale. So when you do your explanation or your demonstration, which is very poorly done, people don't practice this very often at all. Your explanation, your demonstration, in some cases a tour, no one practices it. Number one rule in this area is they must always bring back the problem. Number two, they need to prove that what they said is true and ask the person, are they a fit? If they get confirmation of this, they can move up onto another product and or service, which will dovetail. This is called dovetailing. Always show two things that's going to help fix the big problem. So once they do that, they prove what they said is true, they're ready to close. Now, that's the second thing that reason people get very uncomfortable and very awkward when closing, because it just becomes a tell fest and not a solution fest. Once they have a solution and the person's told you 10 times or so that it's really great, you should be able to present your solution, your pricing, or get them to get started in a way which doesn't go into that red brain. Now, there's a red and green brain model that we created many years ago. The red brain is all the things, the facts. The green brain is where we make all the decisions. The red brain cannot work when the green brain is on. So if people make decisions in a green brain, all we need to do is to present our prices in such a way, which is either it can be done with an alternative choice, which is pretty standard, sometimes a triplicate of choice. You could maybe, which is preferred these days, an assumptive close, where you're going to say, this is what you're going to be doing. Or you could be a prescriptive close, where from your expertise, where I'm an expert, this is what my recommendation to you is, and then you actually then move on to the paperwork. Where people come unstuck here is they don't have a solution and not confirmed. And when they go to present prices, they're awkward. And this is the reason that they're awkward is because they haven't practiced presenting their prices enough. So they should be presenting their pricing. It should be really good and an easy thing to do. And at the very end, we need to say, are you excited? Are you a little bit more relaxed? Now, that's called a double green close. When I ask you an emotional question, after I've asked you for a decision, that'll instantly go into the green brain where they're feeling excited. They'll go, yes. They're a bit more relaxed now. They go, yes. That's a feeling. That's what then that brain, the green brain, opens up when it thinks about a feeling. If I say, give me your money, let's book in a time, that's going to be a logical carrot. They'll say, well, hang on a tick. I need to go away and think about it. And then you've got to overcome objections. So that confidence and competence comes from making sure that they, the person starts off with a good needs analysis to find out the problem after building rapport. We then present more effectively with two things that prove they're true, and then confirm that they're ready to rock and roll. And then at the end, we should do a prescriptive or an assumptive close, which should be only 2-3%, but we get measured on it so much. And just a little extra, mate. One of the big challenges is a lot of salespeople don't measure their numbers. And the Hawthorne principle of management says, if you just measured your numbers on a daily basis, you'll increase sales. And by the way, it is a scorecard. And some people get a bit scared of that. So we should have around about 3-5 key KPIs, like could be lead to contact, and then contact to booked appointment or contact to sale, depending on the product. Now, if it's a booked appointment, you've got appointment booked to show percentage, and then the show to sale percentage. And then the last one is maybe the B back to sale percentage. Sometimes the gestation period is not immediate. Those are simple percentages that can be measured. Now, if you measure those things and inspect them, I can assure you it increases the, let's say, urgency to do the practice, so they have the competence and the confidence. So there's a little bit of a little overview of three to four points that they could probably use to actually increase their sales and conversion.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely. And if you're just listening to that then, even just listening to the language that Steve uses, and you can pick up so many little things by listening to other people's language when they go about doing these sorts of things. So, question, if you're listening to us right now, what do you do when you first start your sales conversation? Are you more interested in trying to get everything about you out there, or are you more interested in finding out all about them, which builds that rapport and connection? That's the first thing Steve was just talking about.
Yeah, look.
The big second thing was, how are you then showing them that you are worth getting paid? So in other words, you have to be able to share with them what their problem is and what your prescription is to fix that. So, for example, we will always know, and you'll always find that they're the same sorts of problems. So you'll have the same four or five problems for every single person, no matter what they really came to you for. So for us, We don't have much of an audience. They don't have many marketing channels. They don't know how to be able to create referral sources. They're the same problems, every single person. So you need a prescription for those problems that you can share. You need to understand what that is for your business. As Steve just said, if you get those things done, that's just practice. That doesn't take a great deal of effort just to do. Well, you're off to a better start than the majority of people who try to sell because they think it's all about them, and therefore they do 100 times more talking than listening and make it so much harder than what it needs to be. So there's your starting point from what Steve has just said there. Steve, let me take you down a completely different path. Soft skills are, they fascinate me, and I've spent a good decade understanding NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and language and patterns, and it just is a world that absolutely fascinates me. How important is language to help improve conversions?
Oh, that's a minefield question. Language is critical. Firstly, there is a lots of models out there, seismographics. We actually do the trainer and actually do reports in a deep way on the DISC model. A lot of people talk about it, and it's very dangerous to use if you don't understand it. Firstly, if you understand any type of seismographic, you've got to match the language. The speed of the voice, the tone of the voice, is the first thing you've got to listen for. Number one, listen to the tone, listen to the speed. Now, if you're a fast speaker or a slow speaker, it doesn't matter. Just listen to the speed and the tone, number one. Number two is when we take it into the context of the conversation, everybody uses a word or two or a phrase repeatedly. Listen to it 3 to 4 times, get a end of the day or yes, as a yes, or ma, or a noise that they make. Or like you might tell them something, they go 100%, 100%. Or there's a word or a phrase they use regularly, match the tone, match the speed, borrow the word. But make sure that it's 3 to 4 times. And they go blah, 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 and they'll tell you something, you go 100% if they said it 5 or 6 times. That will connect with the person at a subconscious level. So easy to do and easy not to do. People get too wrapped up in their own conversation and they aren't looking and listening to the person. Now, the other thing that's quite interesting in a soft skill with language is the pauses. How much pauses does this person have? And if you're a fast talker, you won't like that. But if you listen for the pauses. A pause actually is quite dynamic. People listen more when there's a pause. If you're a motor mouth, I can assure you, a pause every now and then will make a big difference. I could say, if you're a motor mouth, a pause every now and then will make a difference. If you're a motor mouth, a pause every now and then will make a big difference. Now that people will engage more with that. So if you mix up the language and make sure that if you understand your DISC behavior, which is a simple one, a lot of people get, you know, use the driver words or the steady relator words or the, you know, the integrating words, because we sell really well, Michael, to ourselves. We get locked into that exciting pattern and we then get really enthusiastic in our way, but we lose the person because we don't use their language. Their language, we don't borrow the words, and we get too wrapped up in our own language. So it's a match and mirror, pace and lead, so to speak. But if you're talking specifically about language, absolutely borrow the words, borrow the phrases, borrow the noises when you hear them numerous times, not too many, don't mimic somebody, but just every now and then. Slow your voice down if need be, harden the timber or soften it. Just slightly, not too much. And guess what? You'll find that people will connect with you far, far quicker. And if you can find at least 2 pieces of commonality, it's a soft skill, makes an enormous difference. And talk about it. In other words, don't just say, oh, I went fishing. Oh, I like fishing too. That's not a conversation. Have at least two questions about fishing if the person is going to have fishing. So that's some stuff on language with some soft skills. We could actually talk about it for hours.
Yeah, no, brilliant. And certainly it makes it easier for people who really don't like to sell and feel like they're selling. When you focus on the other person and you focus in just being able to match a mirror and being able to focus on sort of being there for the other person, you'll find a lot of that just will start to naturally happen. The more present you tend to be and sort of get out of your own way and not focus on, oh, I've got these six things that I've got to say to that person. I've got to share my presentation, or I've got to make sure that they understand this and this and this. Because really, no, you don't. As long as you connect properly to that person, you could miss 50% of what you're going to say, and you probably still end up with the right outcome just because you've connected better with that person. So,
I'll just jump in there, because what you just said is, I hope everyone listened to that. What Michael just said is absolutely gold. One of the things I would recommend from what you just said is, don't try to remember all these questions, guys, because the way I teach people is, someone is going to give you their language or words, get them to write it down or type it onto an iPad. So in other words, your questions that you might want to ask, you might want to give them it on a questionnaire of sorts. And then if they've written a certain word, you can borrow it from them. And I can promise you, if they write it down, you don't have to remember a lot. You've got to have some tools. The people out there that are the seasoned veterans, they all know this stuff in their head. And a lot of salespeople fail because they don't have the tools. And really, the questions about the answers on the tools is the key. So I just want to digress in there, but as you had a nugget there.
Yeah, nice. Lovely. Big problem. I can't sell. I hate selling. I don't want to be pushy. Therefore, I wait for people to come to me rather than me actually asking for a sale. And now we're in a day where Wolf of Wall Street and some of these have come out where it's all about push, 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 and ask, ask, ask. And you've got Grant Cardone's audio books out there of 21 of these things and do this, and here are the tactics here and there. I don't reckon that's you. So you must be successful at selling through a whole nother way that still works in today's age. Talk to me about that.
Okay, it's called inspiring the outcome. Look, you've got to have a process, but you've got to inspire people to buy. Let's take the word buy out of it. I like to teach people about helping people with decision-making processes so they can take them home, they can take them with their kids or their family and so forth, because what's about buying? It's just making a decision. So if we take out the sell out of it and say, let's help people help them make good decisions and come to the same conclusion that we would, wouldn't it be a great idea to be able to take home and use with the family? So that's when they'll do a lot more practice. I am a believer in actually having a process. However, if you can listen and take the word selling, go from selling to helping. We said, fix the big problem. Yeah, well, listen for the problem. Don't listen to respond. Listen to go on a journey and then use a process that we've utilized for many years called ALFing. Ask, listen, and then formulate your conversation. And it is a conversation. So if you go from the mindset, oh, I don't want to sell, is it exactly right? I don't want to sell. I'm not a salesperson. Oh, hang on a tick. Do you believe in your product? Do you believe in your service? Is it value for money? Guys, let me just stop here. If you don't believe your product and or service is value for money, then you shouldn't be selling it. And I really believe this strongly. You've got to really believe that you have absolutely fabulous solution. Like, you're a doctor and I've got to fix you. I know I can fix you. And your conviction about a high quality product and or service means you don't really have to sell. You actually have to have a good conversation. So the person tells you what they need, ask them for more information. Ask them, what's the ramification if you don't move forward with my unique process or after you've shown, what's the ramification? And they might say it's disastrous, and say, look, at the end of the day, I've got your back on this. Let's make this happen. There's little trigger things that we need to make sure takes place, and it's five things. Firstly, you're either going to have to make sure that you're going to help the person reduce their stress, worry, or frustration. Number two, reduce their, let's say, give them more time or stop wasting time. Next one, it might help them make money or reduce their costs. And the last one is they're not alone. Everyone's time poor, save them time, fine. But you've got to have two of those processes to make sure it gives you permission to close. So if someone actually says, hey, I've got all these problems and you've got something that can fix it, and say, would you like me to show you how I can fix it? Because we're the only guys that got all these things you can do. They go, yes. And you present your program or product and or service, which is a solution, confirm that they want it. Then you can say, hey, let me just show how we move forward. It's pretty straightforward. And you don't have to close. We call it closing because you'll assume it because it feels right. And if it feels right for the salesperson, it will feel right for the person buying. And people hate to be sold to, but they love to buy. And people say this cliche, but they don't know how to do it. And we call it inspiring the close and stop closing the sale. So, no, I'm not into all of that ask 300 times. I think you can overcome an objection, sure. And by the way, Michael, the way to overcome an objection, we use a process called attitude. Change the attitude, don't overcome the objection. So this is, give me an example, there's a bit of a nugget to take away for everybody. I know it's a little bit more money, I know it's more time, it's whatever it may be. But let's just think a little differently. What would happen if it worked? It worked for your solution, and actually you got the outcome you're looking for. Would it be worth it? Would it worth the extra time, the extra money? Then shut up. Most of the time, if you have something that will work because they're thinking it's costing too much or it might not work, you change the attitude. I know it's a little bit more time. I know it's a little bit more that you wanted to invest. But Bob, what happened if you're sitting here or you're doing this and you've got so many more leads and you don't know what to do with it and it all worked out this time next year? Would it have been worth it? Bang! Yeah, of course. I said, what are we waiting for? Let's make it happen. Not let's do the sale. Let's make it happen. Different word. And that moves forward. And that's just a bit of a segue. But if it's not a sale, it's an attitude. We have the person buying and inspiring to buy. It doesn't become difficult. But they have to practice. That's all.
Yeah, great, Steve. I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. You opened it. I'm going to go down. Objections. Let's go there, because I love hearing your language. And everyone who is listening, just listen to the language. Write down language. Might not be the exact words you say, but it will be a subset of, and you can just take out the odd here or there and put in your thing. But otherwise, you've pretty much just got a list of ways to be able to handle things. So there's one around price that Steve just gave you. Will it work for me? What do we say, Steve? If someone says, well, I don't know if it'll work for me.
Person said, will it work for me? There's two things that hasn't taken place. Number one, we haven't found a compelling reason of their pain, and you haven't linked it to your solution. In other words, you haven't test closed. So to avoid that, and by the way, I get asked to do a workshops on overcoming objections, but this will fix most objections. There's a process called transition. I'll just give you what you can use. First thing you ask before you present your prices so you don't get that objection, was there anything that you were looking for to fix problem that we didn't have or discuss today to make sure you give that peace of mind, whatever it may be? So firstly, ask a negative question. Did I do my job? Because you found the compelling reason. Number two, is it convenient for you to actually come or receive or get the product and or service? And if they say yes, I said, are you excited? It's going to work really well. Are you really looking forward to that? They'll go, absolutely. So other than the investment, other than the packages that we have or the ways that we do things, are there any other questions that you have, Bob? Now, Bob will say no. Say, well, how about we show you how to get you tons of leads and making sure that you have a holiday two or three times a year without actually spending all that time worrying, okay? I've got your back on this one. All of a sudden, you're not going to say, I've got an objection because you've actually done the transition test closes to make sure that you don't get them later. It's better to try to reduce the objection, get confirmation the product and/or service will fix it, and that it's a convenience, because there are value and convenience are some of the holy grails to close. So that will help you to reduce it, so you don't have to overcome it. It'll actually be reduced substantially if you just use those four test closes.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. We do that. We've got the money one. What else tends to pop up, Steve, for people? Are there other common ones that people come across that we might be able to give a bit of insight to that you hear and come across on a regular basis?
It costs too much, and when they cost too much, it's usually they want the product, but they sometimes struggle with the amount of money. Now, salespeople freak out here because they think it's an objection. It's not. It's a stall. What you need to do is say, most things of quality do these days. Firstly, just trivialize it a little bit, but then you want to ask them, well, how much too much do you think it is? Now, if you're selling something that's going to be for $3,000, they only wanted to pay $2,500, it's only $500. $500. You could go back to the attitude adjustment close and just say, look, I know it's a little bit more money, an extra $500 for the whole year, but what happened if it works? Would it be worth the extra $500? So you actually change the value. Or you could then go to reduction to the ridiculous and say, well, hang on a tick. Let's say they were going to use the product and or service for to make money. Say, well, how many extra sales would you be able to making for over the years? Or how much did you get on one sale? They might say X amount. They said, well, my goodness gracious, if you made 10 extra sales throughout the year, you'll be getting like a 900% ROI on that $500. I mean, I don't know many banks that will give you that. So you need to put it into perspective. It's not it costs too much. It's how much too much is it? And all of a sudden you say, hey, well, look, you know, when you buy the good one, you only cry once. When you buy the one that's a little bit cheaper, we've all done that, we cry a million tears. So let's just go have a deep dive. How much too much do you think it is? And all of a sudden they'll tell you. It's usually a small amount of money. So then you can actually do a reduction to the ridiculous, which actually say, well, look, let's break that down into how long are you going to keep it for? 10 years? Well, gee whiz, let's divide that 500. If my mathematics is right, it's this much. I'm just curious. Are you worth $2.50 or whatever it may be? And it should be done a little bit tongue in cheek, guys, because overcoming objection should never be super serious. This is a big problem. They don't. When you overcome objections, you need to have permission to overcome the objections. Because if you don't have permission, you just look like a salesperson. You just say, my goodness, I mean, how much too much do you think it is, Michael? Oh my goodness, Steve, about $1,000. It was all put in perspective. That's for a whole year of marketing and so forth. And how much did you get for your sales training? I say, all right, well, yeah, my goodness gracious, it'll be around about a quarter of a day. I mean, is it worth you having a bit of a holiday every now and then for just a quarter of a day? Goodness, mate. Come on, what are we waiting for? It's almost an assumptive protocol. And people just don't do it well, mate, because they don't practice it. It's a come back down to that confidence and competence thing. They just don't practice. And that's one of the things when we do training, we have massive amounts of repetition. So we create the motor neuron, which actually helps them have that repetition. So repetition is the mother of learning and skill.
Yeah, love it. Fantastic. Now, Steve, you've got a, if I remember correctly, you've got a guide that people can get, a free guide that people can get around questions to ask. So, like 7 questions to ask to help increase your sales. What's the link to that guide? I'll put it in the description, but what's the link for people to be able to get that guide at?
It's that impact hyphen training 7 questions. So it's actually on our website at Impact Training Corporation. It just says 7 questions, impact hyphen training.net, 7 questions, and they'll be able to download that. That's actually a sales guide. As you correctly said, it's 7 questions. If you ask yourself those questions and answer them, it actually will help you make more sales. That will go hand in hand with a sales growth plan. We'll actually help them through those 7 questions too. If they wanted to answer a sales growth plan, we'd be able to get on board and give them a good hour to do a bit of a deep dive and help them out with at least a 3-point plan to make sure we get rid of some of the obstacles. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So again, that is just impact hyphen training dot net forward slash
7 questions.
So I'm going to just put that right now into the chat box. So if you're on with us right now, you can take that link. I'm just going to make sure that it's coming up on my computer before I give it to you. And then I can spell. So it's impact-training.net forward slash 7 questions.
7 questions, yes.
Perfect. Okay, so that's where you can go to be able to get the free guide. I've just thrown that in the chat box for everybody. And if you're watching this as a recording, we'll put a link below for you to be able to make sure that you get that. And probably a good idea to take Steve up on that offer of his sales plan and helping you be able to create more sales. They do a great little plan there for people. And it will find out some missing links that you might have at the moment that's going to allow them to, yeah, for you to be able to improve a little bit. Steve, let me finish off. Let's just go. Someone needs to make a handful of sales within the next 30 days. What would you personally do?
Okay. Firstly, one of the easiest things is to have a try before you buy, or go back to your let's say the last 30 to 60 days and send them an opportunity for them to get started with a risk reversal. In other words, find out why they didn't buy. Interestingly enough, a lot of people don't know why. So you'd send out a text message. So I've got some good news. You're still wanting to do A, B, and C. I've got some good news. You just give us a call. Firstly, you've got to get in contact with somebody. Next thing is the thing is of risk reversal. When someone actually is giving you an objection or they're thinking about buying a product or service, do not drop your price. Do not drop price, but make sure that you create enormous amount of value for a little taster. I mean, you do a great job, Michael, with what you do, and you get people to join in a webinar, or you get them to come to your partnership club. Doesn't matter what your product and or service, give them a taste to get them. There's a taste to make sure that they can try, but make sure it's a limited taste and have a period of time where they have to take action. So it has to be don't go, get a free this or get a free that. Say, do you have this problem? Would you like an easy way to fix it? We're the only people that do it this way. Find out how to do it this way, and then give them an offer too good to refuse if it's in the next 30 days, if it's going to be external. Go to your lost leads, find out. And the last one, find out 3 people that absolutely love your product and ask them, let's say they bought it in the last 5-6 months, say, hey, I've got a couple of opportunities that are coming up and they really love your product. Get some feedback. Firstly, how's it all going? Get the good stuff. I really like the way you've got this. You really did a good job and so forth. Right. Hey, look, love working with you, mate. At the end of the day, I'm always looking for people to help just like you. Who comes to mind out of your network who could help? So if you know what their network is like, you would go in and we call it the golden goose or golden egg program. Go to the people that love you, ask them for feedback and say, don't ask them, do they have anyone? If they're involved in lots of football clubs or different groups of people they see regularly, like church, say, who from your church or who from your network of people would like to do something just like you? Remember, they're paying for it. They're an advocate. Remember, always go to the people that you're raving fans. So there's 3 ways to generate some leads in the next 30 days to get them to try and then see what you can do.
Yeah, perfect. Fantastic. Steve, I knew it was going to be a great wealth of knowledge and sessions. I've got things that I've been jotting down and taking notes, especially around some of the language you're using, so I can listen to you forever. But really appreciate you jumping on and being able to share that. I really encourage everyone to jump on to www.impact-training.net. www.mindfulnessmastery.net/7questions, and you can get the guide that Steve has, 7 questions to ask to increase your sales. It is a must. Otherwise, Steve, any last words? I know you always have last words. So any last brief words before we wrap this one up?
Well, firstly, thanks a lot for letting me share this with all your crew, and always be so generous with your time. Got a bit of an announcement that's going to take place over the next, 3, hopefully maybe 2 weeks, but more likely 4, depending on technology. We're going to be launching our sales implementation program, which is a video series all done for you with a whole lot of notebooks and a private group. Basically exactly what you told me to do, Michael. And we're very excited to be launching our Sales Authority Club, where we're going to be doing regular training, lots of strategy, and we're going to give the Sales Authority Implementation Program to everyone completely for free who join our club. So we've got a foundation membership that will be just for our inner circle, so to speak, and that's going to be ready to rock and roll in the next few weeks. So look out for that. We'll actually tell you, I'm sure you'll let a few of the guys know. And just after that, our Sales Authority podcasts, which will be happening up in March. So we've just finished getting the first 20 interviews. So there's a few little extras that are coming along the way.
Yeah, fantastic. So make sure you get your, go to www.impact-training.net/7questions. Because not only will you get that guide, but you'll also get to hear from Steve. You know, he gives us great insights throughout the week around sales and soft skills and how to be able to convert better. And then you'll also get to hear about those things that are opening up in the not-too-distant future. Steve, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for making the time, sharing your wisdom, which, as I said, is just amazing around this area of sales. Can listen to you the whole time, but I really appreciate you jumping on and sharing this with our Partnership Club guys, with our implementation guys, and with our wider network. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Absolute delight. Thanks, Michael, for inviting me on. It's been great.
Absolute pleasure. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. That is our expert interview with Steve Jensen, Master of Sales, and just all around great guy. So make sure you go connect with Steve, because anything to do with sales, he's the one who is going to help you. Till next time, take care, and I will see you all soon. See you later, everyone.
Bye for now.